Welcome to Who's That Girl? A New Girl podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kritika.
And today we'll be discussing Season 2, Episode 20, Chicago.
This episode originally aired on March 26, 2013, and was written by Love Rock, who last wrote Season 2, Episode 11, Santa, and directed by Jake Kasdan, who last directed The Last Time We Saw Walt, Season 2, Episode 13, A Father's Love. This episode, when Nick finds out his dad dies of a heart attack, the whole loft goes to his funeral that Nick has to plan. Jess tries to help and support him while drawing the line at writing Walt's eulogy, and meanwhile, Winston helps Schmidt get over his fear of death and open caskets. Even from the beginning of this episode, I had to say, of course Jess got balloons for my guy in a van. Like, everything Jess does in this episode is very much like, of course she would do this. And it starts all the way back from the first scene.
I knew immediately when I saw those balloons that they were going to be huffing the balloons and the helium and going to have these high-pitched voices, and we immediately see them do that. But then as soon as Nick walked away, I kind of instinctively knew, like, this was the moment that they were going to make the comedy out of the tragedy. Like, they were going to have the helium voices keep the mood light, literally almost, because of the balloon air. But then Nick obviously gets that news right away. And so it's like kind of a sad moment, but not entirely, because we know that they're holding their breath and like keeping it in because they're just going to have these high-pitched helium voices.
And the way Nick is just like, are you guys not going to say anything? And then that immediately leads to us actually hearing them try to console him with these chipmunk voices. But you know, he really appreciated it, I think, because that group hug was just so sweet to see. And this whole scene, as much as it's sad to see that Nick's going through all of this, it was really nice to see the loft come together in this way. And even more than the loft, the actors. Because even when Jess first walks in and she's holding all these balloons, you see Schmidt and Winston smile. And it really feels like that's Lamorne and Max smiling, not Schmidt and Winston, because they're all having such a good time. They're a family. And I feel like that plays out through this whole episode.
It really does, because immediately we see them all go to Chicago. And of course, all of them went because they're all so important to Nick, but Winston so important to Pop Pop. We knew that he was going to show up for that. Jess right now is so important to Nick. And so there was no way that all four of them weren't going to go.
And immediately you start to see Schmidt and Winston and even Nick give Jess a little bit of background because she's never met Nick's family. And it's very clear that Schmidt and Winston have. Obviously, Winston grew up with Nick, so it's a lot easier. For example, Nick shares that he had a van year because this is where he lived every year except for that year as a kid. And Schmidt and Winston are warning Jess that Nick's family is a bit crazy. But I have to say, I didn't anticipate Nick's family being the way they actually were. Like, the fact that Nick is the most responsible of them is not something I ever pictured.
I don't know that I pictured it exactly this way either, but I will say that I've had this similar experience with friends before where there's certain qualities about a friend that I notice that I'm like, oh, okay. But then I meet that friend's family and I'm like, oh, so you're the one, like, you're the normal one, or you're the one that has that actually, like, maybe you have a quality, but it's like not the same as intensified as the rest of your family, you know? And so I feel like that's Nick here, because I feel like the fun brother that we met, Jamie, or like careless, I would say, is maybe more like it, like fun and careless a little bit. We meet Jamie, we meet his cousin, Bobby, and he's also the same kind of like fun, careless, or they have like just different focuses. But one thing I noticed about both of them is that they even make fun of Nick for going to college. Like, they go, oh, college, like you do it, you know? And I just, that's the part of the dynamic that I think I was surprised about, is like, I maybe wasn't picturing that Nick would take all the responsibility. I think it fit really well. But then I was like kind of taken aback by the family members, because I was like, oh, you're like not bullying, but you're picking on him for doing something that wasn't kind of the expected thing to do.
I do think they were kind of picking on him, but it's also from a perspective of them looking up to him for doing that. Like, it's one of those things where I'm going to make fun of you because I couldn't achieve it, is the way I saw it. But as far as it being reasonable that he was a responsible one, I think mostly yes. But then there's also the thing about how every year Nick misses his flight to come home and his mom calls and reminds him and stuff, which kind of doesn't give that impression of him being the responsible one. But I did appreciate getting to see Nick in this light where he's taking charge and he's doing things and people are leaning on him, because I think Nick likes to be needed to some extent. And this was a really great example of how he could really help his family. And the way Winston explains it, that he had to step up because his father was in and out, kind of makes a lot of sense. And also the fact that he dropped out of law school, maybe that has something to do in part with the fact that he may be the first person in his family to really go to college from the way his family's picking on him.
And like you noted, Winston kind of called out to Jess to really give the dynamic and explain that, you know, Nick really had to step up. Walt wasn't really there. We got that understanding from the episode of Father's Love. But then ultimately, I was just still really confused about Winston's dynamic in this family, because Winston didn't have a father figure, and that's why he looked up to Walt so much and called him Pop Pop. And even as they're coming into the house when they first get there, he's like, you know, he loved me more than you. Not to rub it in Nick's face, but to just really call it out. And Nick's like, oh yeah, he did tell that to me once. Like, that's a true statement. You know, it's just really weird. But then, you know, we come into the house, we meet Nick's family and everything, and they don't really seem to have a similar excitement to see Winston. And I thought that was interesting. But then Winston, like you said, is having to explain to Jess that Nick had to take care of everything. But why didn't Winston kind of jump in on this? Like, in my head, I was like, no wonder Winston was more favorited over Nick and liked or loved more than Nick, when Nick is the one who had to like clean up all the messes, you know? Like, Winston almost got to benefit from everything that Nick didn't get to benefit from in this scenario. So I'm just like, in a way, it made me realize, no wonder he found a best friend like Schmidt, who is someone who, when it was Tenfinity, had a whole party plan, figured all the details out, had all the responsibility down pat, because Nick has lived this his whole life of growing up and having to take care of everybody.
And I kind of get why Winston maybe didn't help when they were younger, because while he has been part of the family, he's not actually part of the family. So I can understand, and maybe he did play a bigger role, but the episode definitely didn't lead to that, especially with Nick's younger brother not really caring for Winston the same way, but his mom did. But what you said about like Winston helping in this episode, instead of helping Schmidt, which I love to see, it would have made sense if Winston helped Nick as well. And I know why we're paired off the way we are, because we're still building on this Jess and Nick thing from the past couple episodes. And Winston and Schmidt's dynamic is great. But from like just a best friend perspective that you grew up with, it's surprising to me that Winston didn't help Nick in anything, like not even like calling places, not even offering. Like, it's one thing if he was off with Schmidt and then he offered, but you only see Jess offering.
I also really loved Schmidt and Winston's storyline, but I completely agree with you that we missed something between Nick and Winston this episode, especially given their whole childhood history that we have flashbacks in and that we've seen many times through this whole series. And I definitely felt like Winston would have had different emotions if Walt was really as important to him as he told everybody that it was. And we're on a line of it being a comedy, so I know that, and we can't have it be too sad, but then I think we could have afforded to see Winston's emotions similar to how Nick showed his emotions.
And obviously Nick is just really confused by all of this. Like, you can see him trying to process but not being able to, and Jess is the person who, like we said, really tries to help him get there. And she even walks up to his mom to introduce herself and immediately is met with distrust. Like, I hated how Nick's mom treated Jess. And again, it's another thing that I kind of get from the perspective of the arc, so that she can like her and like give her blessing by the end. But in this moment, it was so uncomfortable to watch this. And her kind of having no idea who Jess was also doesn't fully make sense, because back in Fancy Man Part 1 in Season 1, where Nick had the credit of a homeless ghost, he gives Jess's number to his mom as an emergency contact. So she has to know a little bit about who Jess is, but it feels like she's just very like distrustful of any strangers in their family.
She probably is distressful, but then I think she was also just distraught with like the passing of her husband and like everything that needed to happen and everything she was unloading onto Nick. But yeah, I really was surprised when even Nick was like, she's my new roommate. And I was like, why new, Nick? She's your old roommate. I know it's new girl. This is the name of the show, but she's not really new anymore. It's the first time your mom's meeting her for sure, but it's not a new person in your life by any means. And he even said, like, I've definitely talked about her. Like, you're just being ridiculous, Mom. Although I have to do a little side note because I really did love Jess's response about that she was from Portland, Oregon, where it's the land of books, which makes a lot of sense because if you've ever been to Portland or looked up Portland, you'll definitely hear about Powell's Books, which is a very famous bookstore. And I've been there many times, so very applicable. And Trailblazers, which is the basketball team. So yes, also something that's very, very prominent in Bridge City. So I love that Jess brought up those two facts about the great city of Portland, in which I currently live.
I thought it was hilarious the way she was identifying herself as well in response to this kind of racist comment from his mom and not taking it to heart, just kind of moving on with everything. But she's really just trying to help and not rock the boat. So I guess they stay at Nick's place and Jess comes down in the middle of the night to ask Nick what he needs help with as he's trying to figure out finances and all this stuff for this Elvis-themed funeral that Walt apparently wanted. And the one thing that, of course, Nick tries to push off to Jess is the eulogy that he's been kind of guilted into doing, even though he doesn't really want to do it. And Jess's comment is that she really didn't know Walt except for the 1 hour they committed fraud. And Nick's response is, yeah, that covers it. Like, I love that that was like who we were seeing as his father, because that's how he views his father to some extent, at least until he sits down to think about it.
It definitely made sense to me. Like, if someone's really dealing with that grief, they're definitely like, yeah, this really hard thing where I have to confront my emotions, which we already know Nick is not the best at. He's like, you do that. I am not interested. And I thought Jess did an amazing job because she immediately then goes to Jamie and Bobby to be like, hey, what do you guys know? Like, let's talk about it. Help me craft this. Like, she was not going to shy away from it. Like, she did try to say, hey, like, what about Elvis theme music is just Elvis? Like, she was trying to help in a very practical way initially, but then it was just not what Nick could think about or handle. So I thought it was really commendable that she really didn't shy away from this assignment essentially and was like, okay, like, here I am, let me figure out who this guy is and try to put this together.
Yeah, even when she's confronted by the fact that Nick's relatives are just sitting there asking her about her relationship with Nick after getting into a fight about a gold chain. And it's like a weird dynamic because we obviously know what's happened with Nick and Jess so far, but neither of them have kind of agreed or told anyone else that these shenanigans or like this passionate makeout happened. We don't even know how long ago before this episode, but it's interesting that the whole family is kind of picking up on this. It's hard to tell though if he just brought home a girl and they just automatically assume that they're together, or if they're seeing what Schmidt and Winston kind of have seen and what we as the audience have seen, both when it's been like implied and we're just feeling the tension, and obviously we watch them make out now. So it's interesting. So I don't really know where they're coming from, but it's great to watch Jess and Nick in these scenes where they're kind of having to deal with that in the midst of this much bigger thing.
No, definitely. It really was the only glue for me holding this episode in time with the other episodes, is kind of seeing their interaction. But I also agree with you that I didn't really love how Jamie and Bobby were like immediately insinuating that they were together, because that just seemed like a little rude, honestly, and I was not really here for it with them. And like their little phrase afterwards, I was like, okay guys, do you even care that your dad died? Honestly, like throughout so much of the episode to this point, I was like, does this even matter to you? Because it was your dad and your uncle, and Nick here is very distraught, and we get that. Winston didn't seem as distraught, we already talked about. And these two guys definitely are like, oh yeah, I want that thickest floss gold chain. And you're just like, how does this family show these emotions? I have no idea, because it does not seem that you're broken up about the passing of your loved one. I don't know why I was like really fixated on that in this episode, because it was like only Nick seemed to struggle. Jess was struggling only because she wanted to help Nick but couldn't. But Nick was the only one who seemed, well, and his mom. But other than that, everyone else was just kind of there.
I feel like you see it from Jamie a little bit when Nick first walks in, where he says, you know, take the kids outside, do the snowman thing. And he's like, I already did it. I'm just emotional. And you see it from Jamie then. But yeah, throughout the rest of the episode, you really don't see the rest of the family members really mourn. Maybe a little bit from Jamie again when Nick's giving his eulogy and everything, but it's definitely removed. And I know everybody grieves in their own ways, but it was still kind of a little weird. And by this point in the episode, Jess obviously is realizing even more that she can't do this eulogy. She's not the person to do this, which I think she makes it clear she's known always, but she kind of pushes it back on Nick, and it's just too much for him. And it was kind of hard to see him dealing with these emotions. And I felt like we were in Jess's shoes, where we wanted to help Nick, but we knew that he had to kind of get there himself and ask for that help in the right way and process it, because he hasn't had time to process it yet. So he just storms off, and it looks like we don't even see him till the next morning.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising that we don't see him till the next morning. But while I definitely felt, as you said, where it's like I wanted to help Nick in that moment, I did get a good laugh out of him having to grab his jacket, because they're all from California and they don't usually have to grab a jacket before they go outside. So I thought that was like too funny.
I didn't even realize that that might be why he didn't grab it on his way out, because he's not used to it, because you wouldn't really need one in LA.
No, if he was going down to the bar, he probably just like heads out when he needs to and doesn't think about a jacket. So I thought that was quite funny. The one other piece, though, I will say, in this whole scene where they're at the house and they're trying to plan this funeral and get everything figured out, Aunt Ruthie almost stole the show for me. She had a total of like 4 lines in the whole episode, but I had to give her a shout out, because I just thought her one lines and her little voice from just the little petite lady that she was the best thing. Like, everyone's stressed about everything going on, and she's like, you want some of my weed? That would be helpful. And just trying to do what she can for everybody. And I really loved her. I had to give her a shout out.
And she does it twice in that same scene. So it was hilarious to watch her, because she's not the person, obviously, we'd expect to have weed just ready to go. And I don't know if it was her misunderstanding what everyone was saying, or she was just like, you seem stressed. You want some of my weed?
It just was very comedically timed. So 10 points for Aunt Ruthie.
And obviously, like, the comedy continues, because of course Nick shows up drunk to the funeral after, like we said, being gone, I guess, the rest of the night. And he comes up to Jess. He's like, I wrote the eulogy. And it's a post-it note that says, Walt Miller, am I right? Which Winston reads. And Nick's response is, am I right? It was a good touch.
That was the funniest thing to come back in, and that's it. He goes, I did it. I wrote the Google Googly G. You know, he can't even say eulogy. And the way Winston reads it, as he said, it's just like, am I right? which had we not had a father's love, which in the timeline too, like meeting Nick's dad when we did, I was like, oh, that was kind of interesting. But like, had we not met him, this little miniature drunk eulogy would not have been as funny. It would not have landed the same way. And I was really happy in a way to get drunk Nick to really like add the comedy to this moment, because in addition, we also got drunk potential Elvis impersonator who definitely had no purpose being at this event, but this was kind of fun to at least see drunk Nick.
I love that Walt's funeral is something that he just wanted an Elvis party, an Elvis impersonator to be there and to be Elvis themed. Like, I can kind of see it from Walt, but I also find it so strange.
It was really strange. I wonder how much of that was really being like something that Nick's mom heard maybe 30 years ago and was like, this is what my husband wanted. We're going to make it happen. And so that's what she was really focusing on and why this was coming together in this theme the way that it was. But Jess, I loved in this moment because kind of earlier I felt like she was a little frazzled, like not knowing what to do. But now at the funeral, in the moment that it was all supposed to be coming together and she sees drunk Nick, drunk potential Elvis and everything, she's like, no, I'm going to help. I'm going to, you know, be the person to really get everyone under control and like send some orders out to really make this event come together and like for Nick and being supportive for him.
It was really nice to see how Jess kind of took control of the situation, but I had no idea how she was going to get Nick sober. Like, I appreciated that she gave Winston a task. Schmidt didn't really get a task, but had an important thing to do to stop asking people if they could smell the body. But Jess taking Nick off, like, I thought she was going to get him coffee or something like that typically you see on TV to get people to sober up. But she just took him to the bathroom, and I didn't understand how she was going to try and get him sober. But I did appreciate, like you said, how supportive she was. And even going so far as when Nick's mom realizes this whole thing is a disaster and she sees the Elvis that her son got, she wants to call the whole thing off, and Jess keeps tapping her. And being there for Nick again in a very different way. I feel like she knew how important this was to Nick to make his mom happy. And so she saves the funeral in only the way she can. And I like that she stood up to Nick's mom to do it. Like, she was really true to herself and, again, so supportive. Like, I think we keep coming back to that because she really highlights that in this episode.
That scene was probably my favorite scene of Bonnie, Nick's mom, was just tapping her and her response being, I don't know you. I don't know your people. And was going to walk away. So Jess taps again. And the mom, you tapped me twice? That was the best line ever. That and Aunt Ruthie, if I was picking favorite quotes from this episode, those are the two. You tapped me twice? It was the best. But yes, Jess is really stepping it up, and it really became clear that the light bulb goes off in Jess's brain that she's going to go take over and be the Elvis. And also, I feel like, as we know, as just people watching the show, that Zooey Deschanel is a singer in real life, and it's something she could definitely pull off, and like it would be something that would come out of Jess's character and Zooey Deschanel. But really minor detail that kind of was like, wait a minute. How is this guy and Jess fitting in the same costume? I was really surprised to see Jess look exquisite in it. I mean, the other guy definitely did not look great if you kind of look at how the costume fit him, but it definitely didn't like be bulging on him in any way because it was too small. You know, it was just awkwardly fitted, but like Jess's was perfectly fitted. So it just, I didn't like that incontinuity. So, okay.
Yeah, that's actually something that stood out to both Kelly and I separately. Because like you said, it fits her so well. And also, if it was the same outfit, how did she get the guy out of the outfit to actually just save the day? She comes in singing In the Ghetto. And of course, even Bonnie is just like, what the hell? Like, what is happening? Why is this happening? And Jess just keeps going. And I kind of admire her for it in this episode because she knows what she has to do. And then the way when Nick comes in and looks at Jess, my heart melted. It broke. I was just very here for this scene.
So it was this scene that melted your heart away and not last episode where they were actually kissing. But okay, we have our own moments. I get it, for the Nick and Jess relationship. It's cool. It's cool.
It brings me back to the pilot, actually, because the way he looks at her before she goes out with her rebound that stands her up, it's a very similar look. And I feel like those say more than any of the physical intimacy that they've experienced so far does.
You're not wrong. But I will say, as much as I thought Nick's look in this moment was really cute, I did not have a melted heart moment. I just was like, I appreciated Nick appreciating Jess for what she was doing. But then in the end, Nick really had the best eulogy. He like came out and he's, you know, Walt was good at gambling. He had a great mustache, you know, he was mean to so many cabbies in such a great way, and he was never scared, and he didn't understand that, you know, and ultimately concluded that as much as he was himself, Walt was himself, Nick's gonna miss his dad. And that kind of, I didn't have a melted heart at that moment, but I had like a broken heart, because I just was like, I'm really proud that Nick was able to kind of come to this point. And if only sober up from the sense of like sobering up on just the reality of what was happening and have this special moment for everybody, because he really made everyone laugh in a way that only Nick could. No one else could do it.
Yeah, he's definitely that glue for his family. And it showed that he wasn't really letting himself process, like we said. And specifically the line in his eulogy that got me was when he said that Walt was never scared. He also says, how did he do that? And I feel like that one line was so vulnerable and said so much, because Nick is the kind of guy that Jess calls out for never doing anything back and injured. And in that episode, Nick says that he doesn't like to do things unless he knows what the outcome's going to be. And it's just even brought back here because he's scared. And his dad, the one thing he admires about him in some ways is that his dad was never scared. And I thought it was so great, not only for this line to be had, but to be shared in the way it was, where he was, to your point, sharing it with everyone. He was the only person who could have done that. And like, yes, he made them laugh, but he also made them really feel Walt's lack of presence. And I'm so happy Jess was there too. And the fact that in the bathroom speech that she gave him, she says that she would hold his hand, and then she walks over and holds his hand and in front of everyone. I loved that too. And then also seeing Schmidt and Winston in the back smiling that they were holding hands versus being upset like they had been in previous episodes. I really think this is Jess and Nick's time. And I'm so happy that Jess could be there for Nick.
I guess my heart melty moment coming back to this was when she did grab his hands. Because yeah, when you see his hands and like the twitching he was doing, that was a whole different level of emotions for Nick Miller. And Jess was there for him. We're going to all collectively like, oh, like, hey. It was really, really sweet. And I'm really glad we got to see that. And I'm glad that even though we had this interesting episode in our story progression, there was still that connection. Even if it wasn't them kissing, it was a connection of emotional support, which is so much bigger in a way.
I think you said it best when you said it was the glue that held this episode in time between what we've seen so far and hopefully what we get to see.
And so when Elvis is present, the only way that they got out of this scene is to sing it out in the ghetto. And so they're all singing and everyone's jumping in and we're feeling like there's a good conclusion to this. We get a classic one-liner from Schmidt where he goes, I feel really transported to the ghetto. And that was really great. Brought us back to the Winston and Schmidt storyline that really had some also intense, vulnerable moments, and was really excited to kind of get their friendship at their next level too, because I've actually really enjoyed seeing their friendship progression over the last set of episodes, and seeing them here was really special.
Yeah, I think anytime you're pairing Nick and Jess off of each other, it's nice to see the other characters having their own storyline too. And Winston and Schmidt are really pairing well together. Like, even when Winston finds out that Schmidt is afraid of death and dead bodies, he doesn't laugh about it, which we've seen in the past, but he just supports Schmidt. And he kind of preps him where he pretends to be dead and lets Schmidt give him kind of a eulogy. And it's so beautiful. Like, we're talking about heart melting moments. I had a couple. The hand holding was one, but this was another one, because he even says that he thought they would be rivals for Nick's attention and Nick's friendship. And then they get to a point where he's the brother he's always had. And it was so, so sweet to see Schmidt experiencing this with Winston.
That was surprisingly super genuine for Schmidt to come out and say that. And even Winston thought it was going to go so poorly and was immediately like, nope, start again. But how Schmidt continued was really, really beautiful. And really, for everything you've already said, it was just really sweet. I also loved that he even referenced the toenails from just recent episode, episode 14, where everyone was concerned about their pogos, and that was not lost on Schmidt. He really appreciated Winston being there for him to help him take care of his pogo and be that supportive person.
And it feels like this whole training actually does help, because Schmidt finds Bobby, the cousin, trying to go to Walt's casket and take the chain because it's his dad, supposedly. And Schmidt sees this, and I love that he's facing his fears for Nick, but also just that he's facing his fears. And he ends up with his face in Walt's casket. At some point, he even says that he touches Walt's mustache, and it was a really weird and funny scene, but I appreciated the vulnerability that goes into facing his fears here.
This scene was another that almost stole the episode for me, because I just loved how Bobby was like, get out of here, Callie. Which, side note, being from Southern California, maybe this is my own thing, but I always get irritated when people call it Callie, because to me that means you're not from California. So, fun fact, Callie is not really the way people talk about it in California. But what we do sometimes say is something like SoCal or something, but not Callie. So that's just maybe a Southern California thing, but little side note. But Bobby calls him that. Bobby calls him Callie. And Schmidt immediately responds, Long Island, son. Because he's like, don't you call me just some like California fluffy person. Like, I'm from Long Island. I'm here. I'm going to stop you. And after the whole casket moment, that energy like still persists with Schmidt, because then he's like, I can do this all day. And he's like bending up and down into the casket, and he looked so weird, but it just was so funny. And I'm so glad that this came back, because this is like maybe the second time that this all day has really come back, and I really want to make it a thing. And I think it's kind of becoming it. So I'm very excited.
It's so fun to see that this all day thing isn't just like a Schmidt versus his cousin, because you're right, it has come back. And he just continues to keep doing it even after Bobby just like leaves, because he knows this is so awkward. But meanwhile, after all of Schmidt's fears are faced and everyone's just starting the funeral, we mentioned that Winston had a job from Jess earlier, and his job was to stall. So he says he's going to go up and have a fun time and keep it light. And Bonnie kind of gives him a few topics to avoid because they're not super light, which was amazing. But Winston is not able to handle his responsibility. And honestly, some of his wailing and the way he fell into Walt and onto the podium, it looks so fake to me. Not like fake as Winston, but fake as Lamorne almost. Like, you could tell this wasn't a natural, this is not how people fall kind of thing.
It was a little dramatic. Yes, I'll give you that. But I don't know. I kind of felt like it did fit within Winston's character, because he does have kind of enthusiastic moments at times, especially like I think of moments where he did like Theodore K. Mullins, right? And he just suddenly can channel, both for performances or otherwise, like a whole set of energy that isn't always there. And so I don't know that I took it to be incredibly fake in that moment, but what I did see was that, again, this whole time, Winston's consoling Schmidt on his fear of death, and Nick is getting consoled by Jess for just his dad passing, but Winston never took a moment to check his own emotions. Like, he thought he was just fine, that he was going to go up there and keep it light, but clearly he couldn't keep it light because Walt was important to him too. So to me, Winston was still in denial up until this moment as well, and wasn't really dealing with his own feelings about the situation.
Yeah, I agree. He really wasn't, because he had so many distractions. Like, first he was taking care of Nick and then Schmidt. And even in this moment, actually, with Schmidt, I thought that Schmidt watching Winston just fall apart at the podium was going to lead to Schmidt going up, now that he's not afraid, and kind of taking over. And Schmidt didn't know Walt as much, and obviously he didn't really like Walt, but he could have faked his way up there and said something funny. And the other thing about this whole thing is, obviously, you said like Winston went up and he was supposed to keep it light. It actually reminded me back to episode 15 of season one, Injured, when Nick thought he was dying. He gets drunk and he tells Jess not to speak at his funeral. And Winston over the booth is just saying, you don't want to talk at a funeral. And we get this brief flashback of a funeral he did attend and spoke at. He's just making jokes and nobody is laughing. And I feel like that's the energy he thought he was going to bring until he saw Walt and realized this is extremely real and kind of was forced out of his denial.
I think that's spot on. And he really was kind of forced out of it and needed to kind of have a reality check. Though at this point, we are seeing them all kind of head back to the cab and head back to the airport. And as they are leaving out the house, it was a really cute last moment of almost an assembly line of just like the last goodbyes between all these different characters. And honestly, one of my favorites was Bobby and Schmidt having a moment where Bobby's like, you owe me a gold chain now. And if not that, a lobster. But ultimately, what I'm looking for is a gesture. Like, you owe me a gesture. I was like, okay, Bobby. Like, I don't know. I just really loved the way that Bobby approached this scene because it just was really random. And I really hope that Schmidt and Bobby get to make good on that one day.
Yeah, I hope we see Bobby back to kind of pick up on this one throwaway line in this episode, but he took it way too far. Like where he left it when Schmidt was bobbing in and out of Walt's casket to hear, I feel like he was kind of letting it go right there and then come to find out, obviously he's not letting it go. Like this is Nick's family member. I should have known he wasn't going to let it go. And it felt so far to say he works TSA at Logan and he's never going to let Schmidt back into Boston again. And even Schmidt is like, why you gotta bring weapons into this? And just like, yeah, Bobby, why? Because this is too far.
It was too far. But then we get a moment with Winston and Bonnie, and that was really sweet. It definitely makes sense that Winston was the one who wanted the sentimental items and was like taking little things everywhere. But in only Winston fashion, he took the leg to his favorite chair, and I was like, Winston, either take the chair or don't take anything. You can't take a leg off a chair. Only Winston.
I feel like it's so in line with the pranking we got in episode 4 of this season where he's just like too little or too big. And this is just like way too little. Like you don't need the leg to your favorite chair. And even Bonnie continues to give Winston a hard time about this. But ultimately, there's a lot of love there. So she's able to let him take whatever he needs. And then we see her with Jess. And I wish she would have actually apologized to Jess for some of the ways she had treated her thus far. But instead, she packed her a snack so that she could show that she's warming up to Jess and accepting her.
That was really sweet. I really liked that Bonnie really gave Jess the nod, if you will, or was like, okay, Nick, you know, this is a moment that is okay. And this is a person who's okay, and it's nice that you have someone that takes care of you, because until that Elvis moment, even though Bonnie was surprised, she realized that she had deep feelings for Nick, even if the two of them haven't expressed that quite yet, as far as we can see, but Bonnie could see as the mom and like could feel that. So I was just really excited that Jess got that approval, because you know that's important to Nick.
And then, of course, we see this little scene of Jamie coming up to ask Nick what his marriage plans were. And I thought it was related to Nick and Jess and where that was going to go. But then immediately we find out, nope, it's because he wants to get married to Deanne. And Nick has to tell him that brothers don't have to get married in order. And so he goes off and proposes. And it's sweet. And maybe we'll be back to watch Jamie and Deanne get married someday.
That would be fun to see. I definitely felt in this moment too that Jamie had very quickly moved on. So maybe all of Walt's love went to Winston. Walt's respect went to Nick, and poor Jamie got whatever was left over because he moved right on to wanting to marry his girlfriend. So I thought that was kind of funny. But with our Schmidtisms this episode, we're going to focus on the scene where Schmidt comes to terms with how he's scared of death. And in this scene, Kritika is going to play Schmidt, and I'll be playing one line of Winston.
Look, I really want to support Nick. I do. I want to support his family. I want to be there for him. But I'm scared of death.
Schmidt, you know, death is natural. You know, it's a natural part of life. Everybody's scared of death.
Death, Winston. Death. Death. And let me ask you something, Winston. What's with this open casket thing? All of a sudden, I gotta walk in and I gotta see the carcass? That's crazy. What if his eyes open? What if his eyes open and then he comes and haunts all of us? Why are the buttons on here? Because they're not holding anything together, yet I don't know which buttons are buttoned. How do you get this thing off, Winston? I don't understand this middle-class button system. Get it off me! So, I don't think I'm gonna go to the funeral, man. I think I'm gonna hang back.
What a great Schmidt moment. Loved seeing this vulnerability, but also Schmidt vulnerability in a way that only Schmidt could approach this moment.
100%. This is a Schmidt only line, and this being said by any other character would be questionable, because not only is he afraid of death, which again, everybody's scared of death, like Winston said, but using that moment to freak out about the blazer that he has borrowed from Walt, which I thought would have been another source of more scaredness for him, because he's wearing a suit that was owned by someone who is now dead. But apparently that's okay, and he just can't understand the middle class button system.
What a thing for Schmidt to focus in on, is a middle class button system on a blazer. But yeah, I'm with you. I thought the same exact thing. When I was younger and had gone to wakes with open caskets, I definitely have had moments where I was a little like, what are we doing here? What is this? But I think I would have been even more weirded out to have to wear the dead person's clothes to that event. That would have been a bigger thing for me. So yeah, funny that Schmidt didn't focus on that.
And surprisingly, when we get to our not in the 2020s, Schmidt's not actually our knots, which is kind of a first. And it's actually the way that Bonnie refers to people and the way she treats Jess, like asking, are you a Spanish? And then referring to Winston and Schmidt as Winnie and Fat Schmidt. Obviously, even if Schmidt had once introduced himself like that, it's not how he identifies now. And the way she's treating Jess is just rude. It would have been bad enough if she had said it when Jess wasn't around to Nick and asked, but she said it straight to Jess's face. And again, props to Jess for dealing with that situation so well, but it was definitely our not in the 2020s.
In our guest in the 2020s, the biggest thing for us was that everyone came to this funeral. We called out that it wouldn't have made sense should the group be really broken up for this episode, but that they all had a genuine reason to go, and at the base of that was just supporting Nick. So it was really special that all of them took the opportunity to go and support Nick and commemorate Walt, who they all just kind of reintroduced to.
And the fact that the show didn't even have to spend time having that discussion, because it wasn't Nick saying, I'm going, will you guys come, or like anything like that. It was just they found out, and then the next scene is everyone is there. Really stood out to us.
We also thought it was a yes that Jess put on the Elvis costume and embraced the full King experience of Elvis and really went for it and sang the song and really made the funeral come together. And last but not least is right after that scene of the Schmidtism, it was Schmidt's eulogy to Winston and how special that was and what a beautiful sentiment it was for him and his friend and their friendship as a whole.
Yeah, it was really great to watch both of these instances of support, of vulnerability, and just watching that on a show is really great to see.
And it only makes sense that for pop culture this episode, we're focusing on the one, the only, the king, Elvis Presley. He was a focal point of this episode without actually being in it, only with the impersonator of Jess being in it. So to give some background, Elvis Presley was born January 8th, 1935, and was very well known to be an American singer and actor. He had the nickname the King of Rock and Roll. Elvis Presley did die in 1977 and was pretty surprising at the time because he was not that old. An autopsy was undertaken and they think that the immediate cause of death was actually just cardiac arrest. Between 1977 and 1981, there was actually music that was posthumously released, singles that he had previously recorded before his death. Also after his death, in 2018, Elvis Presley was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
And the big song that we see Jess sing in this episode is In the Ghetto, which is a 1969 song recorded by Elvis Presley but written by Mac Davis. And the song is actually originally titled The Vicious Circle. And the song is about a boy born to a mother who has more children than she can feed in a Chicago ghetto. And he grows up hungry, learning to steal, fight, and trying to run, but ends up getting killed. And it ends with another child being born in the ghetto, indicating this cycle of poverty and violence. So it was very weird of a choice for Jess to have picked in this episode to sing. But even in an article that we found that kind of had like an interview with Mac Davis, which we'll link in our show notes on smallscreenchatter.com, Mac Davis talks about how he'd been trying to write the song for a while since he was in his late 20s. And when he like heard Elvis's version on the radio, his only comment at first was like he didn't like how Elvis said ghetto, and then had to take a moment and realize that this was a huge hit that he had created. So it was very cool to kind of see a little bit of his insight into the song he wrote, but very different of a song than what you would expect.
And very different of a song, as you said, that you would expect at a funeral. My guess is that they chose it because it's a Chicago-themed Elvis song, and it takes place in Chicago, and they were in Chicago, and that's maybe what cued into Jess's head. But even as the song she sings at the end of the episode, many of Elvis's songs were about love, which could have also been appropriate for the funeral, like Burning Love, which he sings at the end. So we get that kind of like in the scene flashback where she's singing that. But Burning Love was a 1972 song and again sung by Elvis Presley, but written by Dennis Lind. And it was originally released by Arthur Alexander earlier in 1972. So Elvis essentially covered Burning Love, and it wasn't his original song. That said, this was his biggest hit single in the United States since the song Suspicious Minds in 1969. And this was his last top 10 hit in the American Hot 100, even after his death. One other thing that we're going to include for you on smallscreenchatter.com in our show notes is a segment from Zooey Deschanel on Conan, where she spoke about her getting to do this Elvis impersonation and what her experience was like. She said that she prepped by watching lots of Elvis movies that whole week of filming and really getting it in her head. And a lot of her impression actually just teetered on how Elvis says, "Hey, mama." And that's what really guided a lot of her impression, according to her. So you can check out that video on our website.
And getting to our guest stars, this episode, we're not going to be talking about Eric Edelstein, who played the Elvis impersonator, but we will do a deeper dive on some of Nick's family members. So we won't be talking about Ellen Albertini Dow, who was Aunt Ruthie, Lila Lucchetti, who played Deanne, Emily R. Wilson, who played Carol, and Kai Castor, who played one of Nick's cousins. But we will be talking about Margot Martindale, who played Bonnie, Bill Burr, who played Bobby, and Nick Kroll, who played Jamie. So first with Margot Martindale, she's been in a lot of TV shows like The Good Fight and The Good Wife, Infinity Train, Your Honor, Mrs. America, BoJack Horseman, Justified, Hannah Montana, and The Americans, and also been in movies like Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, The Hollers, Parish Jatame, and August Osage County.
Margot describes herself as a Texan-born New Yorker, and she got connected to this episode and being Nick's mom after Jake Kasdan, the director of this episode, directed her on the movie Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, and had such a great experience with her that he knew she would be a good fit for Nick's mom on the show. And while Margot Martindale plays Nick's mom, Bonnie Miller, on this episode of New Girl, she also plays Carol Miller in the TV show The Millers. So kind of a fun connection there. And one other fact about her is that her husband, Bill Bowles, is a musician. Nick's cousin, Bobby, was played by the actor and comedian Bill Burr. He's known for TV shows like F is for Family, and he partially created and acted in that animated series. Also for A Moral Compass, Kroll Show, and Townies. He was also in movies like Stand Up Guys, The King of Staten Island, Date Night, and new movies like The Guilty and Hate to See You Go.
Bill Burr is also on two podcasts. There's the Bill Burr podcast with the comedian Burt Kreischer called The Bill Burr Podcast. It started in October 2019, and the last episode as of now is from July 2021. And then he's also got Bill's Monday Morning Podcast, which is a podcast that now comes out about once a week and started way back in 2007. Additionally, some fun facts about Bill Burr is that before he was a comedian, he worked in a warehouse. He's also a licensed helicopter pilot, and in his spare time, he plays drums and loves heavy metal music. And he even cited drummers like John Bonham and Dave Lombardo as inspirations for how he took up drumming. He's married to Nia Hill, and together they have two children born in 2017 and then 2020. And his brother, Robert, was actually a candidate briefly to fill the Massachusetts vacant seat in the U.S. Senate in 2009. Our last guest actor we wanted to talk about was Nick Kroll, who played Jamie, Nick's younger brother, in this episode. And he's been in TV shows like Big Mouth, which he created, as well as Portlandia, Comedy Bang Bang, The League, Kroll Show again, and Parks and Recreation. And in movies like Sausage Party, Adult Beginners, Sing, Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, and a new movie called Don't Worry, Darling.
Aside from his acting, he's also a stand-up comedian, and as of August 2021, was on his Middle Age Boy tour where he was doing his stand-up comedy. He also works on a podcast with comedian John Mulaney called Oh Hello, the Podcast, which is based on Oh Hello on Broadway, which ran and had 138 performances where John Mulaney and Nick Kroll play these two elderly men from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And that Broadway show ended up having a Netflix original comedy special with those two same characters, which then led them into Oh Hello, the Podcast, which started in April 2020. Another fact that was fun from this episode is that when Nick arrives in the house, Bill Burr says that Nick Kroll is being a douche, which Kroll takes offense to, but then Kroll later plays the douche on Parks and Recreation. He also played a douche in the movie Sausage Party.
With this episode's trivia and fun facts, we actually had a couple. So first, sadly, we wanted to call out something we'd previously mentioned on a spoiler section of episode 13 of Father's Love, which is that the actor Dennis Farina, who plays Walt in this episode, passed away 3 months after this episode aired. So we mentioned that it was really a case of life imitating art. The other thing we wanted to mention was that this was also, sadly, Ellen Albertini Dow's final television appearance before she died on May 4th, 2015. And she's the character that plays Aunt Ruthie. And she was actually 101 when she passed.
I'm just glad we got to have Ellen Albertini Dow's wonderful performance in this episode. And she really heightened it. It was a great last television appearance, if I say so myself, especially at the age of 99. We also wanted to share a few of the fun finds from the New Girl showrunners reviewing this episode. And you can always look at this article on our show notes at smallscreenchatter.com. But for this episode, they said that they knew that they were going to do this funeral episode since the beginning of the season. One of the writers, Dave Iserson, had come to the group of showrunners in this article, including Elizabeth Meriwether, and had this idea for this amazing story that involved a funeral with Elvis, and then everything else kind of fell into place. Originally, though, they thought they were going to do this episode around episode 11, 12, or 13. And it was actually going to be in this moment where Nick and Jess were going to have their first kiss as they stood over Walt's open casket, which would have made for a completely different sentiment. So I'm kind of glad it happened the way that it did.
And obviously there was a lot of comedy in this episode, but it was also great to see that Elizabeth Meriwether had noted that there was also a lot of improv in this episode with Nick Kroll and Bill Burr and with Jake Johnson. And this episode's initial cut was actually like 43 minutes long because that whole scene where they met the family, they just kept riffing about everything. And so eventually they did have to pare that down to this 22-minute episode that we got to see. And if there is a cut of that episode running around somewhere, I would love to see it.
Oh my gosh, that would be the best thing ever, which also kind of explains why we didn't get more of Winston and Nick and really going into these characters so deeply, because they had these amazing guest actors on the show that had a lot of improv. But that gets us to our rating and favorite character section of the podcast. IMDb gave this episode a 7.6 out of 10. The audience viewership was 4.19 million in the US. And as much as there were moments and times that I really appreciated in this episode, that it really did kind of continue the Nick and Jess relationship a little bit, I really gave it a 7 out of 10. Unlike Elizabeth Meriwether and Dave Iserson, I did not love the Elvis theme to the funeral, and I thought it was very out of place, and it just really wasn't my cup of tea. So I gave it a 7.
I gave this episode an 8 out of 10 because the vulnerability that all the characters are showing in this episode really stood out to me. And I do think it's a very fine line in trying to balance comedy and something more serious like this. And I don't know that they did the best job of it, which is why it's not a higher rating for me. But watching Jess in this episode, who was definitely my favorite character, just be there and support Nick, this was so pivotal for them in my eyes. And I really think that they could have a future together. And so watching all of this, watching the way Nick looked at Jess and Jess's continued support made this an 8 and made her my favorite character.
I have to tell you, I was really close to picking Aunt Ruthie, but then I realized she was just my funniest character. But my favorite was also Jess for many of the same reasons that you shared, but really the fact that Jess was committing to being there for Nick was just really special to me.
And that wraps up everything on episode 20 but the spoilers. So we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. And if you enjoyed it or if you found it interesting, give us a rating or leave us a review wherever you're listening to this today. We'd love your feedback. We read everything you send us. So shoot us an email at whosthatgirlpod@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or Twitter at whosthatgirlpod. So if you don't want to hear about any future storylines now, you have 5 seconds to pause. And if you do, we'll chat again next week for episode 21. So starting out with Jess and Nick in our endgame couples, we gave them an 8 out of 10. Kelly, I think, rated them a little bit lower, which is really surprising if you listen to our podcast. But I rated them an 8. She rated them a 7. But we agreed on an 8 here because we really see that there's room for them to grow. Obviously, the next episode is First Date, so we know that they're trying to figure out how things would work between them. And watching Jess hold Nick's hand at the podium and then Nick watching Jess do her Elvis impressions, really, this couple stood out to us this episode.
The couple that did not stand out to us was Schmidt and Cece. Cece was not here. Again, we've had another episode without Cece, so therefore the rating can't really be that high because we're not really seeing anything happen with Schmidt or Cece in this episode. However, it's kind of okay because Cece is going to get much of the storyline as we wrap up season 2, as well as their relationship going into the end of season 2.
And then for our douchebag tracker, both Kelly and I said 4, and really, it's because Schmidt was so vulnerable, and while he had some comments here and there, at the end of it, he's just trying to be there for Nick and really getting over his own fears. So we really thought he was a little bit more genuine because on our scale, 10 is a total douchebag and 0 is a genuine guy. So 4 out of 10 is what he got this episode.
One last little spoiler that we just thought was interesting is that none of Nick's family members that we get to meet this episode come back, except for his cousin Bobby, played by Bill Burr. I was really quite sad. I would have loved to have seen the wedding of Nick's little brother Jamie and his girlfriend Deanne, who he was so excited to marry before his older brother got married, and that could have been a fun episode, but it's not something that does come back in the New Girl world.
Yeah, it would definitely have been fun to see more from these characters and see how Bonnie and Jess continue to get along as well. But we can imagine how with these particular guest actors, it may not have been easy to bring them back again.
But that takes us to the end of episode 20 of season 2. Thank you so much for listening and getting to the end. We do love hearing your feedback, so reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter at Who's That Girl Pod. And you can also send us an email at whosthatgirlpod@gmail.com. We'll see you again next week for episode 21.